Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachung. Our text for reflection is Mark 8:31-38. The Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." My theme for reflection is losing to live, the hard truth at the heart of discipleship, losing to live. The hard truth at the heart of discipleship. A friend once joked that Lent is the only season when people voluntarily give up chocolate, social media, and sometimes even joy, only to count the days until Easter breakfast. We laugh because it is true. We want transformation, but we prefer a comfortable version of it. That is why Mark Twain's observation feels uncomfortably accurate. "It aren't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It is the parts that I do understand." Today's words from Jesus in Mark 8:31-38 are not mysterious. They are clear, sharp, and deeply unsettling. After Peter's bold confession that Jesus is the Messiah, expectations rise. The disciples imagine glory, restoration, and perhaps power. Instead, Jesus speaks quite openly about suffering, rejection, and death. Historically, this moment sits at the turning point of Mark's gospel. The Messiah redefines kingship not through conquest, but through the cross. When Peter rebukes Jesus, he reveals a deeply human instinct, the desire for a faith without cost. Jesus' response, "Get behind me, Satan," exposes the tension between divine purpose and human ambition. The Greek term "dei," "must," shows that the cross is not an accident, but part of God's redemptive design. Bonhoeffer captured this reality with haunting clarity. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. This is not morbid language, but an invitation to real freedom. In the first century Roman world, taking up a cross meant humiliation and loss of status. Jesus reframes honor itself. Losing one's life for the gospel becomes the pathway to true life. Now imagine a young professional named Daniel, admired for his success. One day he declines a promotion that would require unethical compromises. Colleagues whisper that he lacks ambition. For a moment, he feels he has lost everything. Recognition, opportunity, and reputation. Yet months later, he discovers a deeper peace and a new vocation serving others. Daniel's story mirrors the paradox Jesus describes. Sometimes what looks like loss becomes the doorway to wholeness. The cross in our lives may not be literal persecution, but it often appears as costly faithfulness in ordinary decisions. For us today, Lent asks not for dramatic gestures, but honest alignment. Where do we seek the world's approval more than God's call? Jesus reminds us that saving our image may cost us our souls, but surrendering ourselves to the gospel leads to resurrection-shaped life. Discipleship is not a lifestyle accessory. It is a daily reorientation toward divine things rather than human ones. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might you be tempted to follow a Messiah without a cross in your own life? Number two, what does it mean practically for you to lose something for the sake of Christ and the gospel today? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one small act of costly faithfulness. Forgive someone, speak truth gently, or give time to someone overlooked and offer it consciously as an act of discipleship. Lord Jesus, you spoke plainly about the cost of following you. Teach us to set our minds on divine things and not merely human ambitions. Give us courage to carry the crosses before us, trusting that in losing ourselves for your sake, we will find true life. Strengthen all who suffer for your name across the world, and shape our hearts to follow you faithfully today and always. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore.